Amen. Thank you, Craig. What a blessing. That was good. Appreciate that. Ecclesiastes 8. I went back and looked at chapter 6, and it would have really been tough to fit this message into that. I looked at what I thought you were going to make for the passage, but anyway, we'll be in Ecclesiastes 8. And I call your attention to our text. It says in verse 10, "And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity." Father, I pray you bless the preaching today and speak to our hearts. Give us what we need. Father, I pray for anyone here who's not saved that today would be the day they would come to Christ, they would trust him as Savior, and Lord, it would make their day by far the best day ever. And I pray for Christians that you will help us, as Craig just sang, to be like you. Please speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, this is the Memorial Day weekend, and Memorial Day started somewhere around the Civil War. It is my understanding that the North, of course, says that they started remembering those who had died for their cause. The South, it is also my understanding, they were doing the same thing. And it wasn't until World War I that they started recognizing all those who served in the military, who gave their lives for the cause of America. And eventually, of course, other wars have come and gone, and many have given their lives. Don't forget those who've given their lives for us. There have been many, many folks. I don't know if you've ever been able to go to a memorial. The cemetery that I went to is a different kind of cemetery, and it's in Pearl Harbor. And it is just unbelievable. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. As we approached, we saw tears, and I thought, well, they must have had a relative. The truth is, it doesn't matter if you had a relative or not. When you walk into Pearl Harbor and the memorial there, it just nothing has affected me quite like that. Just brought tears thinking of the many lives that were lost there, that are there underwater. Just amazing. To think of the lives lost so that we could be free, so we can have the country that we have. And eventually, Memorial Day, some people call it Decoration Day. I remember growing up hearing it as Decoration Day. And eventually, it seemed to become a time to reflect on anyone who has died. Memorial, of course, is a remembrance. It's to remember. We certainly could call the Lord's Supper when we have that. We call that a memorial service. It's a time of remembering the Lord Jesus. And so Memorial Day has become a time folks will go. Many of you will go to a cemetery and maybe change the flowers. You'll do something there and try to reflect on a loved one, a friend, someone who has died. And so we do that. I thought about that. And as I thought about it, this passage came to mind because Solomon here is reflecting in his wisdom about death. And he's talking about it. And certainly, we don't like to talk about that, but the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Everybody dies. And we know that. It's the most real when you go to a cemetery. It's very real. It's very real in a funeral service when they always ask me, do you want the casket, do you want it open, or do you want it closed? And I always, you know, it doesn't matter to me, but I prefer it to be open because I want people to know this is real. This isn't something we're faking. This isn't something you can just kind of forget about. It certainly, I don't think you ought to be preoccupied with it, but it is very real. We die. And the text, it says, and so I saw the wicked buried. I want to preach a message I've entitled, I Saw Them Buried. I Saw Them Buried. I have, and I went back and tried to figure this out because I didn't used to keep very good records, but In over 26 years of pastoring, I have performed over 70 funerals. It's just amazing to me as I was looking back at some and I had forgotten some of the situations and all that. I've done, like I say, over 70 funerals. Now, I usually spend anywhere from 10 to 12 hours on a funeral service. I don't get out a book, and you know there are books you can buy and you know just read the service and all that. I personalize every funeral service, and usually spend 10 to 12 hours per funeral on the service. And I was thinking that's over 700 hours that I have concentrated on someone who has passed away. 700 hours of preaching and studying and everything that I have spent dwelling on that subject and on that topic. And preacher, I don't even want to think about it. I don't want to. I've had funerals for babies. I've had funerals for newborns, a little newborn child that died. I've actually done a couple of those. I've had funerals for children, very small children. I had a funeral. I've had a couple funerals for teenagers. I've had funerals for my own grandparents, and I remember those services very, very well. I preached the funeral services for both of my parents, and very difficult, but yet what I felt like I should do. One of the most unique funeral services was right here when Art and Helen George went to be with the Lord, and just the amazing, amazing way they almost, it was like they went together. And my wife and I, it's interesting because we talk about that's how we want to go. We want to go together. And, you know, we're not planning anything, all right? So don't, you know, yeah, boy, Pastor said it. But Art and Helen, you know, it was just an amazing thing. And just seeing how God worked all that out and everything. I preached a funeral for my best friend. I've preached a funeral for deacons who died and staff members who died. I've preached funerals for many, many folks, and I preached, as far as I know, maybe one, maybe two people who I was not sure whether they were saved or not, and those are the hardest funerals. One man was my dad's best friend. My dad at that time was not saved. That was a very difficult funeral service for me to preach. But somebody asked me recently, said, do you ever preach the same message for a funeral? And I said, no, that's not possible. And it's not possible because everybody's different. Because a funeral is literally telling about them. It is a remembrance of them. I usually begin a funeral service with the words, I'm going to talk about two people today. And one, of course, is the deceased, and the other is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what the funeral service is all about. And so it's impossible to preach the same thing because everybody's life is different. And if you could just imagine, you say, why do you spend so much time? Because I'm taking, let's say, 70, 80 years of life and putting it into 20 minutes. And that's how it works, and that is how it is. And so I've seen many, many kinds of funerals. And Solomon is reflecting here in this passage about how he also has seen people die. He also has seen people and he says in verse 8, there's no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. Again, he's recognizing it's not like we have a choice. It's an appointment that we will keep. You know, you go to the doctor and sometimes you say, you know, I've decided I don't want to get that shot. So you don't go. I've decided I don't want to go through that test. Oh, have I tried to get out of some tests. I can remember being very, very young and getting poison ivy. And for some odd reason, they thought that we ought to get a shot. It was so bad. And my sister and I both had poison ivy. And so being the gentleman that I was, I let her go first in to see the doctor. And all of a sudden, I heard a scream. And she said, no, 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 no. Ah! And I'm thinking, whoa. I'll never forget running out to the car and saying, I feel much better now. And I just try to avoid those kinds of things. You know, I don't like those kinds of things. But this is an appointment you're going to keep, okay? God has it all written, and there is a time, and there's no way we're going to get out of it. And Solomon is reflecting on it, but he talks about what I call, in the title of the message, you know, I saw them buried, but this was not a good funeral. This is a sad funeral. He said, I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. All funerals have an element of sadness. They all have an element of sorrow. The Bible says, and I read this passage pretty much always at the cemetery out of 1 Thessalonians, and it says that ye sorrow not. But it says, as others which have no hope. In other words, we're going to sorrow, but we have that hope, and it's not a hope so, it's a hope that, hey, we're going to heaven someday. Those that are saved, we're going to heaven. And again, most of the funerals I preach, the person that has died, they're not dead. Their body's dead, but they're in heaven. They're running up and down streets of gold and having a wonderful time. And that is the hope that we have. That is the really the promise that we have from God that there is an eternal life in heaven. And it's a wonderful, wonderful life. And most of the time I've been able to rest assured that, hey, this person is no longer sick. This person is no longer hurting. This person can now breathe. This person's not run for years, and now they're running and skipping down streets of gold. This person was poor, now they're rich. This person had all kinds of problems, now they have absolutely no problems. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to talk about. But, you know, Solomon talks about another kind of person. And he talks about he said, I saw the wicked buried. And I obviously here, he's talking about an unsaved person. He's talking about somebody who has rejected Christ. Somebody who chose not to trust Jesus as Savior. How opposite of Revelation 14:13 is verse 10. Revelation 14:13, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Blessed is the idea of happy. Oh, you know, they're, well, how sad. No, not for them, it's not sad. It's only sad for us. When my dad, who died of emphysema, when he died, it was hard on me because I was going to miss my dad, but I watched him gasp for air. I watched him try to get the oxygen, better yet, try to get the carbon dioxide out of his body, and I watched it literally poisoning him. It was almost refreshing to think of the beautiful celestial air that he would breathe in heaven, and there'd be no struggle with it. I mean, honestly, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. Psalm 116:15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. There is a huge difference. There's a huge difference. I have been with all kinds of folks when they die. My wife and I have been with people several times in the hospital as somebody died, and we have been with them. And I'm going to tell you, there is a huge difference in death with Christ and death without Christ. Huge difference. Solomon, I think, really touches on that here. He says, I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. They were forgotten in the city where they had so done. And he said, this is vanity. It's empty. It's a sad thing. Number one, we see the occasion. We see the occasion, and it's a burial. It's a burial. And it's, you know, doesn't matter if it's a rich person or a poor person. Everybody is pretty much buried the same. I mean, I understand we now, there's all kinds of different caskets and all kinds of different vaults and all kinds of different places. And you know, some people are in the mausoleum and all those different things. But in reality, it's pretty much the same thing. And in verse 8, it says, there's no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. We don't, it's not like we have a choice in this thing. It doesn't matter who you are. You know, the Bible talks in Luke 16 about a rich man dying. Rich people die. And it talks about Lazarus dying. He was a poor person. Neither one of them had a choice in the matter. Neither one of them could say, wait a minute, I've changed my mind. I'd just soon not die right now. We don't have a choice in that. That is up to the will of God. And all are buried the same. And all die the same. And burial is so final. I've said this so many times. I do not understand how an unsaved person can ever attend a funeral. Honestly, I don't know how they can. There is no hope for them. There is no peace for them. There is no comfort for them. There is nothing for them other than just, this is it. You know, for God's people, I've obviously done over 70 committal services. That's at the cemetery, and you watch people; they're really struggling with this thing. This is it. You know, for God's people, it's not it. I always try to stay with the funeral director when they close the casket. I did that for my grandparents and my parents, but I'm saying I'll see you later. You know, I'm saying, hey, this isn't the end. This isn't it. But you know, this funeral, this burial that Solomon talks about in verse 10, it was a sad, sad situation. It's so sad. Unless a person is a Christian, it is sad. It is sad. Job 19, verses 25 to 26 says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." That's the promise to the Christian. That's the hope that we have. That's what the Christian looks forward to. But here, this funeral, where the wicked was buried, I mean, the burial is a sad thing. There's no more chance for this person to trust Christ. No more chance for them to get right with God. No more opportunity for them to come at an altar call and pray and receive Jesus as their Savior, because at the burial, that's it. There is no more chance, no more opportunity. I saw the wicked buried. It's sad. It's so sad. Maybe within the tomb here of that Solomon, maybe that person was a person who said, "Well, one of these days I'll get this settled. One of these days I'll get saved. One of these days I'll ask Christ into my heart. One of these days I'll get born again. One of these days do it. I don't have time right now." And all the excuses. But it's too late then. Soon they'd be buried. Too late. The occasion. Number two, we see the observation. And really the one word that sticks out here is in verse 10, "I saw the wicked." So I saw the wicked buried. And Solomon observes here at this terrible occasion that this person was a wicked person. You know, God's children, though they're sinners, aren't considered wicked people because God's forgiven them. Now, they sometimes do wicked things, but we're not called wicked people. This is someone who is lost. This is someone who has refused God's salvation. And he says, "I saw it, and it was a really tough thing." He said, "This is vanity." Here's somebody, and again, if you think about that, we're born, and we're born, as Craig just saying, to be like Christ, and everything is there so that we can be like Christ. What a waste of a life for someone to die and go to hell. That's such a waste of a life. Oh, you know, we're all sitting there and you got somebody in mind, right? You know someone like that. When is the last time you told them? When is the last time you told them Jesus loved them? When is the last time? You know, praise the Lord, we had three people trust Christ as Savior yesterday at the wedding. And what a blessing that is. You know, when is the last time you told somebody, "Hey, Jesus loves you. God, you know, they want you to be saved today." Boy, this observation, it's interesting as I think about funerals, and I haven't really been to a lot of funerals other than the ones that I've preached. But it's amazing how everybody always becomes saintly. You know? The deceased always I've never heard in a funeral, now you may have, I don't know, but I've never heard anyone get up and say, "This was really a wicked person." I've never heard that. Now, again, maybe you have an illustration like that. I cannot imagine it, but I've never heard that. I've never, these people that were unsaved, I was very careful what I said and everything. But it's amazing how they always become saintly people. And you know, the sad thing about that is that's not necessarily always the truth. We like to think that. We like to think it. It makes us feel better. The truth is, what would I say about you? It is always, and the first thing, especially if I don't know people very well, and I used to do more funerals of people that I didn't necessarily know. Now, I because of my schedule, I only do church members or somebody I know very well. What would be said about you? I mean, the first thing I ask always if I don't know is, have they trusted Christ as Savior? Show me their Bible. Let me see. Let me read where they asked Jesus into their heart. And again, we you know, I don't necessarily know for positive, but that's their testimony. And did they get baptized? Did they follow the Lord in baptism? What? Tell me about that. Because that's going to determine everything. Solomon said, here's somebody who was wicked. Here's somebody who wanted nothing to do with Christ. Here's somebody that maybe attended church. In fact, we'll talk about that in a minute. But they were wicked. They never got saved. I think about, you don't know about a person's life necessarily just because of what is said. For example, an atheist. People at the funeral would say, well, he lived a good life. You'll notice in verse 11 it says this, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You know, so many times people will say those nice, well, they lived a good life. But it's only because their sentence against their evil work was not executed speedily. Oh, in other words, they didn't go to jail, right? Yeah. In other words, they didn't end up as a drunkard as a pauper or whatever. Yeah, but I got news for you. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and that execution, as far as their sentence, the sentence against the evil work of being lost at death, it's executed. It takes place. It takes place. There's no question about it. Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The sentence for our sin is death in a place called hell. And it doesn't happen right away. It doesn't happen right away. But somebody certainly would get the idea, and I've run into them, you've run into them before too, that, well, I don't need Christ. Nothing's happened to me. I don't need Christ. Look what I'm doing. Look at my life. I don't need Christ. I haven't. He hasn't judged me. But you know what? Death. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. That's when it takes place. And they may think they don't need Christ. And certainly this person here in Ecclesiastes, I'm sure they lived a life where they didn't think they needed the Lord, but they needed the Lord. And if you're here today without Christ, you need the Lord too. Jesus is the payment for our sin. You know, the rich man in Luke 16, I often go to his funeral. And I think about it, he's the rich man. And I'm sure that at his funeral, you know, people gathered, and I'm sure there was a huge crowd, and there were people dressed very, very nice, and people that were very religious, I'm sure, were there, and I would imagine that the preacher would get up, and he would only say nice things about the rich man. But you know what God said about the rich man? He said, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Now, I didn't write that. God said it. Now, I know we don't like to think about it. It's not politically correct, but it is Bible. In hell, the Bible says about the rich man. Now, imagine his funeral. Everybody said, oh, you know, he gave lots of money to us, or he did this for us, or he was so kind to us, and he did this. And boy, this was a great guy. And I'll tell you what, if anybody's in heaven, it's this guy. There's no question about that. But God said in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. It's interesting. It says in torment. We'll have people all the time say, well, I think hell's here on this earth. No. No, there is a hell. It is a real place. It is a place of fire and brimstone and burning and torture and terrible, terrible place. And, and nobody wants to talk about that, certainly at a funeral. But I'm just saying this. Solomon talks about it in verse 10. He said, I saw the wicked buried. What have you trusted Christ as your Savior? What would we say if you died and you know Pastor Rogers is called or a pastor's called? I mean, it should be oh yes, they've asked Jesus into their heart. Yes, they've been saved. Oh yes, no question about that. Or would we have to just say nice things and then, like the rich man, the reality would be in hell, in hell, in hell. Many times at a funeral, someone will say, well, we're sure that God took their child, are we? You know how many religions talk about we're all children of God? You're not a child of God till you're born again. You have to be born into His family. First birth, you're born into the devil's family. Yeah, all have sinned. We're sinners. You need to be born again. You need to be born the second time into God's family. How do I do that? You ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. You have to be. Jesus said it. You must be born again. Well, you know, we're all children. No, we're not. If anything's getting more and more watered down today, it's how to get to heaven. It is unbelievable. You can't even, people look at you strange anymore when you talk about hell or you talk about, I saw the wicked buried. It's like, what do you mean the wicked? Everybody's good. We're all good. We're Americans. Uh-huh. And yet the truth is, we're all sinners. Then there's folks that are praying for God to have mercy when someone dies. And they're given extra money to try to buy them out of their torture that they might be going through. That's an interesting gimmick for a church to come up with. Hello? Pays a lot of bills, doesn't it? We'll just guilt trip everybody into thinking, well, if you'll put enough money in the offering plate, that'll get your loved one out of purgatory, which, by the way, isn't in the Bible. Huh? Good fundraiser, but a wicked lie. Because the truth of the matter is, Jesus died on the cross to keep them from hell. He died on the cross to keep you from hell. If you reject Christ, you're rejecting the mercy and the grace that He's offering to you. It's very interesting about this man in verse 10, this person. He said, I saw the wicked buried who'd come and gone from the place of the holy. Here's somebody that went to church. Here's somebody that could be right here at Berean Baptist Church. Could come every week. But as someone who never trusted Christ, could be a teenager here. Could be an adult here. Because they came and they went from the place of the holy. Now some never hear it in church. As I mentioned, the gospel's getting watered down. Terrible. It's just unbelievable. It's amazing how many people, and I'm not mentioning names, but it amazes me if you go soul winning at all, how many people will tell you, in fact, my wife just yesterday led two girls to the Lord, and both of those girls said, well, we go to, and they mentioned a church, and they didn't have a clue. One of the girls said, well, they told me that I could go to heaven if I fill out all these papers. Thank God that people can come. They can come to a wedding and hear how to go to heaven. Some never hear it in church. Some ignore it. They've heard it. I ignored it for a while. As a hippie kid in the 70s, I ignored it. People try to talk to me about being saved, and I said, oh, I don't need that. I don't care about that. Some try to ignore it. But again, ultimately, you can come to church. I mentioned this yesterday. You can join this church and die and go to hell. You can get baptized until you wrinkle up like a prune and die and go to hell. Jesus said you must be born again. Amen. You have to call upon Him to forgive you and come into your heart and save you. That's how we get to heaven. There is no other way. You know, it's interesting when I think about Christian funerals, and like I say, I've done many, many of them. It's interesting how Jesus dealt with funerals. You know, I wondered about that. I remember first funeral I did was my wife's sister-in-law. She was, I'm going to say, 22 years old, somewhere between 20 and 22 years old, and she died of cancer. But she had gotten saved, and I baptized her. But she had a terrible cancer, but I remember. That was my first funeral, and I had to get all my notes out. And I thought, you know, I got to find notes. I don't know how to do a funeral. And I hadn't even gone to many funerals when I was younger. And so I'm getting all my notes out, and I'm still not real happy with what I'm finding. So I decided to look up how Jesus dealt with funerals. You know how He dealt with funerals? It's amazing. He broke up every one of them that He ever went to. Everybody raised from the grave. I mean, nobody stayed dead around Jesus. You know, that's our hope, though. When Jesus is part of the funeral, you don't stay dead. I still can remember my best friend dying, and he was my assistant pastor, and he was 30 years old, died in a car wreck. And we had Dr. Tom Williams come and help out with the funeral, and boy, we had a great service. It was, I don't know how long it lasted, but people didn't want to leave. It was just such a blessing. But before we went out, Brother Williams, he started praying, and you know how he prays. I mean, if you're around him, it's just interesting. And he said, "And Lord, we know that if it be thy will, you'll just raise him up out of that casket." And immediately I thought, and if he does, I'm out of here. I mean, in my mind, I saw that happening, and I'm thinking, whoa, I don't know about it. But you know what? That is how it is. It is how it is. I mean, really, when we die, we as a Christian, we just go to be with Him, absent from the body, present with the Lord. We're with Him. It's like that, just like that. I've seen the smile. I've watched so many before they die, God's people, and they're just looking. And I say, who are you looking at? And they're just looking. Sometimes I've heard them talk about people that have gone before. Oh, there's my uncle, and there's my aunt, and there's mom and dad. You look at them like, really? I don't necessarily see them. But, listen to me. You need to understand something. With God's people, Jesus, he's resurrected. And because he lives, we're going to live. It's different. It's so different. That's why I've had so many say, you seem different when you're preaching a funeral. I'm thinking of heaven when I preach a funeral. And it's positive. And it's definite. That's another thing about it. It's so definite. Hey, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the grave, that was pretty definite, wasn't it? He came hopping out of the tomb with his grave clothes. You know how they wind him up in bandages? And can you imagine this? Lazarus, Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth." And he's all wrapped up like a mummy. And here he comes hopping out of the tomb. I want to watch Dee hop as she signs it. All right. But can you imagine? Here he comes. And they got to unwind him. I don't think they went, and spun him like a top. But that's pretty definite. Nobody's going to argue, oh, that didn't really happen. No, that really did happen. And he came right out of the grave. And that's why, when we're standing by the casket, yes, it's hard. You say, "Preacher, you preached your parents' funeral?" Oh, yeah, because I know that the body that they were in for those 70 years is just a body. That's not them. It just was a temporary home for them. And they went to heaven. Now you think about it, all right? If I were to preach your funeral, I can't make you what you aren't. Do you know that? I can say nice things about you. There's always something nice you can say about somebody. Did you know? I seriously, you're thinking of someone, "Yeah, I know so-and-so. You know, I don't know what you'd ever say." Oh, there's always something nice you can say about everyone. Everybody, there's always something. But I can't make you what you aren't. "Well, preacher, I hope you tell everybody I went to heaven." I hope you did go to heaven. I hope you are going to heaven. Are you? I still remember Dad's best friend. I talked to him before he died. He had cancer. He had brain cancer and lung cancer, two of the very worst kinds of cancer you can have. And it was bad. And I was talking to him. He was in so much pain. He was walking, and he was just almost delirious. And I tried to tell him that Jesus loved him. And I tried to tell him, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son." I went through the Romans road with him. I tried. I'd sit down with him, and then he'd stand up, and I'd walk with him, and I paced with him, and I cried with him. And I begged him, "Ed, won't you get saved? Ed, please, would you trust Christ?" He said, "Oh, the pain, it's just so much." And I said, "Ed, please, would you trust Christ as Savior? It'd be so wonderful for you." And he said, "Oh, I'm going to die. I know I'm dying soon." I said, "Ed, but you need Jesus to come into your heart and save you." And I don't know if he ever did get saved. I just remember when I prepared for his funeral service, I just wept because I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to say it because I didn't know where he was. I didn't say he's in heaven because I didn't know if he was in heaven. I just talked about his life, and it was a good life, and what a good man he was to so many people. But the whole time it was bothering me, and I knew it was bothering the congregation because most of them didn't know where they were going either. Hey, where are you going? Where are you going when you die? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? The next thing is the obituary. The obituary of this man. We've seen the occasion, the observation. Number three, the obituary. The Bible says here in verse 10, he's forgotten. They were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Forgotten. Forgotten by all at the funeral eventually. Most importantly, forgotten by a holy God. God did all he could. People gave me tracts. People talked to me. The preacher preached, gave the invitation. I had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. You're here today and you've never been saved. You think about all the opportunities you've had to be saved. You think about all those opportunities. God put you under certain circumstances where you could hear how to be saved, but you never did it. And eventually, once you're dead, forgotten. But see, it's different for a Christian. It's never about being forgotten. I preached Melvin Gilbert's funeral recently, and talked about the campfire. And honestly, I really believe that at his mansion there's a little campfire out back. Might be a big campfire. I don't know. Got to be big enough for s'mores and hot dogs burnt. And yeah, amen. And it's always about, okay, what are they doing? I think they're doing what they did here, having a good time. And the best time about it is we're going to meet Jesus face to face. But to be forgotten in a place like hell. I've heard somebody recently just say, I'm going to go to hell and all my buddies are going to be there. Oh, they are, but you're going to hate each other so much. You're going to hate each other so much. Because it's hell. The only thing even close I could imagine would be somebody driving somebody drunk. And they have a wreck and the person's laying there next to them paralyzed. Are they buddies? I think it's a bad deal. Forgotten. When an unsaved person dies, there's nothing good about it. I've heard them talk about an unsaved person who's dying of cancer and say, well, at least they'll be away from their suffering. And I think, no, they won't. No, they won't be away from suffering. What would we say in your obituary? I think about it all the time. The last thing, the fourth thing, is the opportunity, and that's chapter 9 and verse 4. Because we are going to die. Chapter 9 and verse 4, it says, for him that is joined to all the living, there's hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die. But the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. What's he saying? He's saying, well, there's still an opportunity if you're alive. If you're alive, you still have hope to be saved. That's the opportunity. You're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. I beg you to trust Christ. You say, you're trying to scare me? That's how I got saved. Thank God for a preacher that scared me. I guarantee all over this room there's people, you were scared too, but you sure don't regret it. Do you know that on all the deathbeds where I've been just before someone died, I've never had a Christian say, I wish I never would have got saved. You know what they say? They say, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm ready. 2 Corinthians 6:2, and then we're done. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. What did Solomon say? He said, well, he said, for that wicked that was buried, there is no hope. There is no memory. It's done. But for you who are still alive, there's hope. There is hope. But you need to be saved. And Paul said, now, today, right now, is the day of salvation. Let's bow our heads, please.